If you'd like to read with me today in the lesson, I ask you to turn to the 20th chapter of Numbers. And I certainly desire your prayers again today. Numbers chapter 20, and we'll read beginning with the first verse. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seeds, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. I'm going to stop reading there with verse 13. The thought that I want to share with you today, the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart, is the dangers of disobedience to God. I want you to consider with me some things today from the Scriptures that teach us how dangerous that it can be for us to disobey the voice of the Lord. Sometimes I'm afraid that people, when they think about God, and perhaps meditate about the things of God, sometimes I'm afraid that many people have stopped thinking about the God of the Scriptures. They have come up with their own concept of God and their own thoughts concerning God. But when we consider God, we need to consider the God of the Scriptures, the God that we read about in His Holy Word and the things that they tell us about him. Moses was a very special person. There are things that the Scriptures say about Moses that I believe that make that very plain. We might look back here in the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 10. It says, And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And if we go to the 12th chapter of Moses, it tells us something there about Moses, about his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron. And in the first verse, it tells us that Miriam and Aaron spake against their brother Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And in verse 4, it says, "The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam and said, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." And so we see how that God dealt with the brother and the sister of Moses for speaking against him. And so Moses certainly was someone that had a very special relationship with God. And but I want us to notice in that in the 20th chapter of Numbers, in the reading lesson that I read before you this morning, that and the Bible teaches us that God is no respecter of persons, and God still expected Moses to obey what he told him. And I want you to know today that as God's children, that God expects us to obey what he tells us to do. God is not, when God commands something of us, he's not just giving options. He expects us to do what he tells us to do. God expected Moses, when he was there at the rock there, he expected Moses to do exactly what he had told him to do. Now, you can go back into the 17th chapter of Exodus and you can read about another time at this same place where God told Moses to go before that rock and to smite the rock, to strike the rock with the rod, and that water would come out. And Moses obeyed what God told him to do, and he went there and he struck the rock, and water came out. And so we find this time that God told him to go there again, because again the children of Israel, like they were so prone to do, they were crying and they were whining and they were complaining to Moses and to Aaron. And God instructed Moses to go and speak to the rock, and that water would come out, and that they would have the water that they needed to drink. I want you to think with me for a moment about the simplicity that there are in, and I want to use a few examples here. I'm sure that they're all going to be very familiar accounts to you. But I want you to think with me for a few moments about the simplicity that there are in many of the commands of God. And yet when they, things that seem so simple, yet when they were disobeyed, God dealt very harshly with those that disobeyed them. And we might go back to the very beginning, to the very first people on earth, and see what it was that God had commanded them, that one law that God had given them. There was nothing complex about it. It was really a very simple command. God had planted a garden there, and he had planted, God had made different trees, and he had placed different trees, different types of trees there in the garden. And there was one tree that was in the midst of the garden, and God had commanded his creation not to eat the fruit of that tree. Now, I want you to think about that with me for a moment. I'm going to confess something before you. I remember when I was about 12 years old, my older brother and a friend of ours, we went one time and we crossed a fence, and children, don't do this. But we crossed a fence and we climbed up in a cherry tree, and we were sitting up in that cherry tree, and it had these big red ripe cherries on it, and we were just sitting up there eating our neighbor's cherries off of his cherry tree. And he come out and he saw us up there, and he told us to get out of his tree. And we got out of the tree and we ran. Now, we were sitting in the tree and we were eating fruit. We have a situation here, and I don't know what kind of tree this was. You know, some people call it an apple tree. I've got my doubts that it was an apple tree. I certainly don't think it was a cherry tree. But we have a tree here that God had planted in the garden. It was a fruit tree. It had some kind of fruit on it. And the simple command to his creation was, you are not to eat of the fruit of that tree. Now, you know, when you and I think of that, of taking, you know, if you think about your parents, if you would have had an apple tree or something in your yard, and for some reason your mother or your father would have told you, don't go out there and eat the apples off that tree. Maybe they were wanting to keep them to make jelly or something like that, and you went out there and picked an apple off of that tree and ate it after being told by your parents not to do that, you probably wouldn't have thought of that as being a great big deal. But I'll tell you what, God told them not to do it. This one tree, of the other trees you are allowed to eat, but this one tree there in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, you are not to eat of that. And he imposed the penalty of capital punishment if they did. Now, God was serious about what he said to them. He was deadly serious. God doesn't really even, in the scriptures, it really doesn't even explain to us why that God did not want them to eat that. The devil came along and he told them that, you know, the only reason that God doesn't want you to eat from that tree is because he knows that when you do, that your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. But what we simply read in the Bible that God said to them was, God just said, do not eat of it. And that was it. When you were growing up, did you ask your parents why? When they told you not to do something, son or daughter, you are not to do this, how many times did you say, well, why not, Daddy? Or why not? Why not, Mama? Why not? you know, wanting an answer. But listen, God just simply said, this tree in the midst of the garden, you are not to eat of it. And in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You'll die. That seems strict, doesn't it? I mean, that seems the way that you and I may think of things. That seems strict to think of somebody that, you know, goes out there and they take fruit. They take this forbidden fruit. They take this fruit that they have been told not to take. And they take that fruit from that tree and they eat of it. And because that, God imposes the penalty of death upon them. But that is exactly what happened. And God means exactly what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And God expected them to obey him in the commandment that he had given them. And when they did not obey them, God passed upon them the penalty that he had said that he would. He kept his word to them. You know, I've often thought as parents, and I've seen this happen a lot of times, as parents, you know, if you tell your child, listen, if you do this or you do that, I'm going to spank you for doing that, and that child blatantly disobeys you, you ought to keep your promise to that child and give them what you told them you would give them. Now, we don't, you know, as parents, when we have a law or a command, when we have something that we tell our children, we are certainly not going to, if that child disobeys that, we are not going to execute them. We are not going to penalize them with capital punishment. That would be wrong for you and I to do such a thing as that. No matter what it was that we had told our child, if they disobeyed us, it would be wrong for you and I as human parents to take their life. But listen, God holds our lives in his hands because God created us and God owns us, and it is God's choice. It is his choice how to deal with us. And God, when he punished Adam with the severity that he did for taking of that fruit, He didn't wrong Adam. God was not unjust in that. God said, this is what you are not to do, and if you do it, this is the penalty. And when Adam did it, he imposed that penalty upon him. Period. I've heard people say, and I'm not speaking against this. I mean, they may be right, for all I know. The Bible doesn't really tell us this. But I've heard people say that concerning Moses striking the rock twice, that God was displeased because the rock typified Christ, and he struck it twice. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's right or not. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But I'll tell you what I do believe about it. I believe the lesson in this, what you and I are to learn from this, is that we are not to disobey what God tells us to do. And I believe that that was the main point here and what we are to focus on in this. If we're going to learn anything from what happened to Moses and Aaron here, it ought to be this, that we are not to disobey what God tells us to do. I don't know that, I don't really know, to be honest with you. God had intended somehow by having Moses to speak to the rock on that occasion rather than strike it with the rod. There was some way that God intended for that to sanctify him before the people, because if you read there in the 12th verse, that was what God was so upset with Moses and Aaron about, was because he said, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. And there was a way certainly that God was going to use that But God didn't have to explain to them why this time, as opposed to the last time. God did not have to give them an explanation as to why he had commanded them to speak to the rock rather than to strike it. They were under obligation to go and obey what God had told them to do, and they didn't do it. And this man that the Bible tells us that there was not another prophet like him, where God says, you know, if there's a prophet, I'm going to speak to him through a vision or through a dream, but not with Moses the prophet. I'll speak to him mouth to mouth, personally. But yet God punished him, greatly punished him, for not listening to that which he commanded him. Speak, Moses, speak. Speak to the rock, and the water will come out. We find that if you go over and you read in again in the end of the book of Deuteronomy, you'll also find out that not only was this the penalty that was imposed upon Moses and Aaron here, we read in the 20th chapter of Numbers here that God told them because of what they had done, because how that they had failed to sanctify him before the people, that they were not going to take the children of Israel on into the promised land. But if you go over and you read the end of the book of Deuteronomy, you will also find out that this was that they were penalized by death for what they had done in their disobedience to God. I'll tell you what, folks, God is not to be trifled with. Sometimes I'm amazed at the things that people believe they can do, and people obviously believe that they can get away with when they're dealing with God. We can look at the example of Jonah. We can look at how that God commanded this preacher to go and to preach to this city of people that were about to be destroyed. And God sent Jonah there to warn them that there was only 40 days before destruction was going to come upon them. And Jonah had other things in mind. Jonah did not want to do what God had commanded him to do. And so he boarded a ship and he headed off in another direction. But listen, when God told Jonah to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh, he was serious about what he was commanding him, wasn't he? I mean, God was serious about it. Jonah may have thought, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go. I'm a Hebrew, and those are Gentile people, and I don't want to go down there, and I don't want to be among them. I don't want to preach to them. I don't care if they perish or not. That's not what I want to do. He had his own agenda, and so he ran the other way. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how hard or how fast that you run or where you hide. God found Jonah, didn't he? He found Jonah out there on that ship. He knew exactly where he was. You ever tried to hide something from somebody? Well, only I know about this. Well, you know what? It's really not that difficult. You can hide things from people. But I'll tell you what, God knows everything that we do, everything that we think. You know, if I live on this earth for 70 years or 80 years or 60 years or however long that I live on this earth, every moment that I'm here, every second of time that I spend on this earth, God at any given moment will know exactly where I'm at. He knew where Jonah was at. He couldn't run from God. You can't run from God either. And he went out there and he punished him. He prepared a fish
The Bible says God prepared a fish. The Lord prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah. When you're going to attempt to run from God, you better remember this. There's still whales. They still exist, don't they? God chose exactly what to do in order to punish Jonah. And when he got finished with Jonah, Jonah went and he did what God had told him to do. But you just think about what he could have avoided. You think about the heartache that he could have avoided and the trials that he could have avoided if he would have just listened to God in the first place. How many situations have you seen in your life where somebody, I've seen this with a lot of men that have fought the call to preach, and they eventually give in to God, and they decide, well, I better do what God is asking of me because I can't take this chastisement anymore. And all those years that pass where they could have been preaching from the very beginning and avoided a lot of heartache. I'll tell you what, folks, we do not win when we fight against the Lord. If you're here right now today, living somehow disobedient to God, you mark my words, you're not going to come out on top. You're not going to win. You're not going to win the fight. God is going to deal with his people. You know what the Bible teaches me? That if you can just go your own way, if you can just do your own thing, if you can have your own agenda, if you can just live your life the way that you want to, contrary to the will and the word of God, and God doesn't deal with you for that, then there's something wrong with what you professed in the first place. That's exactly what the Bible teaches us. You look in the 12th chapter of the Hebrew letter, and it tells us there that God deals with his children, that he chastens those whom he receives. And it says, if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. If you belong to God and you just tried to lead a life of willful sin, God will deal with you. He will chasten you for that. He will correct you for that. And if that doesn't happen, friend, according to the scriptures, there's something really, really wrong. We remember, I'm sure that we all remember reading or hearing about a man named Uzzah. You know, when the tabernacle was made, there was a way that thing, when it was moved by the Kohathites, that certain family from among the Levites, there was a certain way that tabernacle was to be took down. Aaron and his sons were to take that down, and it folded in, and it was to be covered. And that tabernacle and all the holy things of the tabernacle, you read in Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, those things were not to be touched. They weren't even to be touched. Those holy things of the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and the golden candlesticks and those things in there, they were consecrated, they were holy, and there was a commandment that they were not to be touched. Well, there was also a certain way that they were to transport the ark. There were staves put through those rings, and the Levites were to bear that on their shoulders and carry it. It wasn't supposed to be thrown up on a cart. If we had it in our day, we were not supposed to throw it in the back of an F-150 and move that thing around. There was a certain way for that to be moved. And David, when he was recovering the ark, he was already moving it in a wrong way to begin with. It should have never been put on that cart. It was never intended to be transported that way. And when that oxen stumbled, and Uzzah, and you think about this, I believe that it was just reflex of what he did when that he thought that that Ark of the Covenant was going to fall off of there, and he put his hand on it and he touched it to steady it. And what happened? God struck him dead. Boy, that seems drastic to me, doesn't it, to you? I mean, when I think about that, that here this man, you know, like I said, it was probably just instantaneous and a reflex, and he put his hand out there and he touched that ark. But listen, the point is, God had a law. God had instituted a law that that ark was consecrated and it was holy and it was not to be touched. It was not to be touched. Period. And when Uzzah touched it, God was angered. The anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he lost his life because he disobeyed God. Now, what's that to us? And here's what I want to get to before I close. What is that to us? We don't live in the days of the tabernacle. We don't live in the days that I've read about that Moses, where Moses was punished for what he did. And there's a lot more that could be said about the rock there. But I believe the point is that he disobeyed the Lord. He didn't mind God. He didn't do what God told him to do. Neither did Aaron, and they were punished for it. Don't you think that there are things that you and I have been told? I mean, do we not find things in God's Word today that we've been told? How about the 10th chapter of Hebrews in verse 25, where the Scriptures say that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When God inspired the Hebrew writer to write that, do you believe that he was as serious about that as he was about commanding Moses to speak to the rock? Do you think he was as serious about that when he told us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is? Do you think that God was just as serious about that as he was about the fact that nobody was to touch the holy things of the tabernacle? Do you think that God expects us to assemble ourselves together just as much as he expected Jonah to go down and preach to the people of Nineveh when he told them? I do. It'll be up to you what you believe, but I do. I believe God was just as serious about that, and yet we'll just run off. We'll forsake assembly. The people of God will run off to play a game or to do anything in the world and just forsake it just as casually as if it didn't even matter. If you don't believe that's true, open your eyes. It happens all the time. Amen. Well, I'll just go do this today, or I'll go do that today. But God said that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do you think that in the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter, in the 30th verse, when the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to write that we were not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, where we are sealed unto the day of redemption, do you believe that he was just as serious about that as he has been these other things? What about when God moves upon our hearts and he tells us to do something? It might be to stand up and to testify of his goodness in our lives or something of that nature. And we just say, no. What do you think the Lord does? Do you think he just says, well, I didn't think you would anyway? I don't. I believe that it is wrong for us. I'm not saying that there's any of us that are not guilty of it, but I believe that it is wrong for us to disobey anything that God asks or that God commands us to do. Anything. You see, and that's what I was trying in this, and I may have not done a very good job, but that's what I was trying to point out. You know, God didn't tell Adam, you know, now listen, you know, if you wire the Garden of Eden with explosives and blow the Garden of Eden up, then you're going to die. No, he just said, you're not to take of that fruit. Just a very simple command. You are not to take of the fruit of that tree. Moses, you are to go up, you are to walk up, and you are to speak to this rock. Just something very simple. You are to speak to the rock. And I'll tell you what I believe Moses actually did when he became furious, and I believe that's what happened. I believe Moses had a momentary lapse in his judgment, and he suddenly became angry, and he acted on his anger and on his impulse, and he took that rod twice, and he hit that rock. But what he really did when he said to Israel, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? He took all the focus off of God delivering them and put it on himself. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Well, it wasn't Moses that was going to give him the water. It was God. And he robbed God of his glory. And I'll tell you what, if you don't do, even if it's to testify or whatever it is, if we do not do what the Lord commands us to do, we will rob him of his glory. Because he intends to glorify himself in everything that he commands of us. It's not for us. You know, God doesn't move upon your heart to do this or do that so that when you stand up and do it, that people can look at you and say, oh, what a great person that is. God does those things to bring honor and glory to his name. And he does them just like I spoke Wednesday night from the 23rd Psalm. Why does God lead us in the path of righteousness? Is it for our sake? No. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He does it for his glory and his honor, not for ours, not so that we can be seen, but he does it for his excellency and his honor. And you know, I'll tell you what, folks, I can't tell you how that God will deal with you or will deal with me for disobeying him, for willfully disobeying what he tells us to do. Because, you know, God hasn't dealt with every preacher the way that he dealt with Jonah. I mean, we can read in the scriptures, it seems, you know, God doesn't deal with everybody in the same way, but I believe that everything that we do that's a trespass against God, he will deal with us one way or another. One way or another. Be not deceived. I'll end with this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We never pull the wool over God's eyes. We don't deceive God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was punished. I'll just tell you honestly. I was punished by God. When the Lord called me to preach, and I, there wasn't much time that passed, but there was a small window of time that passed that I didn't do it, and I was punished for that. I thought I was going to die, honestly. I mean, God means what he says. He's not messing around. When he moves on your heart to do something, he means for it to be done. And we're going to pay the price
if we don't.
You young people, I know this having lived through it. There's a time in the lives of many young people when we tend to develop this rebellious spirit. But if you belong to God, He'll deal with you, young or old. God will deal with His children. And you can avoid a lot of tragedy in your life, and you can avoid a lot of heartache in your life if you will listen to God and obey Him. God expects us when we're saved. When God saves us, He expects us to do with that what we are supposed to do with it. We're not to hide it under a bushel, are we, Brother Wheat? I mean, we're not to take that and hide it under a bushel and never tell anybody about it. We are to put our light on the candlestick and serve God and honor God with our lives when He does that for us. And God will not take that kindly for anybody that doesn't. Well, I guess that's all I have to say. But I want to give you this warning. When you mess with God, you're playing with fire. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. We take it too lightly. I mean, we just decide, like I said, we just decide that I know I'm supposed to be there today. I know I'm supposed to be assembled, but I've got something else I want to do. And we just go do it, and we take it too lightly, too lightly. When God moves upon our heart to testify or to sing or whatever it is, sometimes we just push it aside and we take those things too lightly. Too lightly. Sometimes God has to almost kill us, don't He, it seems, to get us to do something. Because how many times you heard somebody get up and they're like, I got to talk because my heart's beating out of my chest. Well, why didn't you do it before you got in such bad shape? I mean, think about it. I told somebody one time, I said, obviously Baptists will testify just prior to cardiac arrest. I mean, you know, it's just, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. It's better to just obey the Lord and what He tells us to do. So, Brother Ronnie, if you would, let's have a verse of a song.